Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Roman Battaglia, sitting in for Mike Green. My guest is Eric Riggs, a professor at Cal Poly Humboldt and dean of the College of Natural Resources and Sciences. Cal Poly recently built a new research vessel to replace its aging one. Professor Riggs is here to tell us more. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Let's start with the old before we get to the new. Tell me about the research vessel that's being replaced and why.
Absolutely. So we currently operate the research vessel Coral Sea. She's a 50-year-old vessel, and we've been operating the boat as a research vessel for 25 years. And so the reason why we were motivated, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, a 50-year-old vessel is getting close to end of life for an active research vessel. So it's a reasonable thing to think about replacing a boat that age in this kind of context anyhow. But more to the point, and a real kind of a crisis point that we realized is even though we had the engine repowered, the boat powered with new engines back in about 2008, I think, we encountered California Air Resources Board regulations for harbor vessels that would preclude us operating in California waters after this year, after 2025. And so we looked at the cost of what it would take to put new engines in the current vessel, and it's basically about the cost of the vessel itself. It almost totaled it out. So it's like, well, along with our polytechnic transition, we were, the state invested quite a lot in this institution, so we were able to carve off some funds there and realize that it was going to be a much more cost-effective solution to go with a new vessel.
Yeah. So how does the new boat then compare to the old one?
Sure. Well, the Coral Sea is 90 feet long as a monohull and is a relatively long, skinny thing, tends to roll quite a bit. It's a good vessel. It's great. It's very capable, but it's a bit uncomfortable in rough seas. And so this new vessel is an aluminum hull catamaran rather than a steel hull monohull. So it's significantly quicker. It's much more stable. It's a little bit shorter, about 78 feet instead of 90. But it's a modern class of vessel, and so it should be better at seakeeping. It's much quicker. It can run at the same lower speeds at a far lower fuel burn, so it's more efficient, cheaper to operate, and generally better configuration for teaching and learning on board.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like it's, definitely much better than the old vessel in most regards. More stable. It's obviously up to date, and it's a better format for, teaching as a research vessel.
You bet, especially in the offshore environment, offshore of Oregon and California, Northern California. It's a bit rough out there a lot of the time, and so having a slightly more stable vessel is a big plus.
Yeah. So I heard that a lot of time was invested in naming this new vessel. Why?
Well, first of all, names are important. We are very cognizant of the fact that, and we lead with land acknowledgments and take it seriously here on campus. I mean, we work in partnership with the many tribes, the 13 tribes in Northern California, and especially the Wiat tribe that is, the campus is sited on unceded land of the Wiat. And so we're very cognizant about trying to write the place names, to correct place names, and to keep naming of new, especially public spaces like our student union and some of our new student housing. We work closely with the tribes on naming and consultation. Naming of the vessel is a slightly different thing. It is clear, looking at the history and operation of the Coral Sea, that vessel is something of an icon for this university. I mean, not only physically so, right? It has our university colors and livery and label on it, and everywhere she goes, it's an advertisement for the school. So what you call it is important because it says something. We inherited the name Coral Sea with the boat. We didn't come up with that. But with the opportunity to name a new boat, we thought, okay, this as an iconic vessel that really represents the university and represents what we stand for, we really should be projecting a name that has some relevance to the region, has some resonance with who we are as a campus, and then also one that respects all of the communities that reside in this area. And so that it, what's in a name? Quite a bit in this case, I think. Yeah. It's got an outsized impact for the university, and so it was important that we do this right.
Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't realize what is the name of the new vessel. We haven't said that yet.
Oh, sorry. It's the North Wind.
North Wind, yeah.
Yeah, I can give you the background on that if you want.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about, is why the name North Wind.
So just to back up and give you the process, we asked, we have a group of users, common users of the research vessel, includes people on and off campus, a lot of agencies that we partner with and other folks in the community. And so we started off with a kind of an informal users poll asking for soliciting suggestions. And then we looked at those suggestions and then put them forward, the best ones, I think, we put them forward to our management on campus, but then also out to the broader community. We had a campus-wide survey, including alumni. One of our local news media outlets, the Lost Coast Outpost, picked that up and broadcast it out to their readership also. And so we took all of that input together. We also, you know, consulted with tribal nations in the area to see if anybody would suggest. We had a number of native names and phrases in both Yurok and Wiat languages proposed to us. And one of the early proposals that came up that was more process-based, North Wind, stood out as one of a handful of ones that really captures a bit of the character of this area from a scientific perspective. The North Wind is what contributes to the Pacific Current. The California Current is what contributes also then to upwelling in this area, in this region, bringing cool ocean water, deep ocean water to the surface, which provides a lot of the input of rain and colder air that keeps the entire Northwest, Pacific Northwest cool, but then also provides the rich fisheries that we have, provides obviously the wind itself that we're looking at developing, you know, in this region as wind power, both off the coast of Oregon as well as the coast of Northern California. So it really is one of those process names that stood out, and we had a number of other names that would name the place, that would name other kinds of seasons. And so we had a variety of names that got put forward to the community. Yeah. So that's where the North Wind came from. It was a user suggested and then voted on by the community. So,
yeah. My guest is Professor Eric Riggs, Dean of the College of Natural Resources and Sciences at Cal Poly Humboldt. The school is replacing its outdated marine research vessel with an $8.5 million new one called North Wind. What kind of excursions will this new vessel be used for?
So the sort of ideal excursions, we do a mix of both student-focused teaching cruises and then research-based cruises as well, you know, for academic purposes as well as ones for more contract research that we'll do with agencies and occasionally private companies. But sort of the sweet spot are these 1 to 5 day trips that will run either, you know, south down to San Francisco or north maybe up to the mouth of the Columbia River. So, I mean, the class of the boat really focuses on doing these sorts of regional research vessel type missions. And it has the capacity to sleep 14 people. It can carry 40. So, you know, mix of day trips and slightly longer excursions is really where the sweet spot is for the vessel. And so that's what we intend to be doing. We run on the order of about 20 or 30 class-related cruises. We offer ship time to our instructors to be able to take, if somebody has a legitimate use of the vessel, to collect data and to help, you know, teach students as part of learning by doing, which is the polytechnic mantra, right? We offer that to them basically free of charge internally, and then also do a number of sort of paid nonprofit type work for especially federal agencies and other academic institutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the new vessel already in use or are you still waiting on it?
No, actually still being built. It's still it's at All American Marine. It's the manufacturer. It is currently sitting in dry dock and almost done in its manufacturing cradle. It should be launched probably next week. It's going to be very exciting. And we will have, she'll then enter sea trials with the manufacturer still owning and in charge of the vessel. Our current captain of the RV Coral Sea and our engineer have been making routine trips up to Dellingham just to check in on the build for the vessel. But we're anticipating she'll be in routine use in the water by end of February and then probably delivered to her home port here in Eureka probably mid to late February.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of different types of uses that, you know, yeah, the current vessel and the new vessel will kind of be used for. Do you have an example of, like, you know, some research that's been done recently on the old vessel?
Wow, sure. And what we're planning on the new vessel. So the old vessel is used for everything from you could imagine. I mean, let's see, we've done cruises for our oceanography group, looking at biological oceanography, looking at water column population of all sorts of microscopic creatures, plankton, things like that. We also have launch and recovery of unmanned drones, these sort of sail drones that would go out and collect data and then come back. And so we'll go launch and retrieve items like that. We have repeated monitoring of various kinds of installations that are offshore, looking at environmental conditions as well, you know, everything from water temperature and quality through anything that you can imagine measuring in the water column that would be relevant oceanographically. And then we also have, you know, even wildlife, seabirds, migration patterns. There are a number of birds that species that exist and operate pretty far offshore for the most time. And so we'll take groups out there to observe those birds and make measurements of how many birds, in which direction, what are they doing, all these kinds of things. So we really kind of cover the range of physical to biological oceanography and marine biology and wildlife studies.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, because the off the coast of the Humble Bay is one of the first sites of offshore wind development on the West Coast. Are you planning on using this new vessel to do any kind of research around, you know, the development of offshore wind there?
Yeah, definitely. We can't serve all of the needs of the offshore wind industry with a vessel like this, nor would we try. But there are certain things that's really well equipped for, and that's helping do some of the repeated monitoring for, you know, relatively near shore type features of either the physical or biological environment. Matter of fact, when we were designing the new vessel, we specifically specified some of the sensors and also the winch and cable setups to be able to reach the kinds of depths that are going to be characteristic of the mooring points for floating offshore wind platforms at, you know, 16 to 20 some miles off the California coast. The water gets relatively deep out there, so we needed to make sure that we could make measurements and take samples at something like 1,500 meters of water depth. So that definitely drove some of the specifications on the new vessel because, you know, both of the major operators in this region are already in touch with us asking, can you help with this, these research and environmental monitoring needs as well as the initial site characterization. So definitely we're in that space. And then assuming that all of this moves forward and that the wind farms get developed over the next 10 years, we would love to be, we're definitely positioning ourselves to be part of sort of a routine monitoring effort. And again, engaging students in that work as well, monitoring conditions in the ocean around those wind power installations.
Yeah. It sounds like even there were even some aspects of the ship's construction that were kind of built with the offshore wind development in mind there.
How often
does this, or do you anticipate this new vessel to kind of get used every year?
Every year? Wow. Okay. Again, you know, with, 20 to 30 academic cruises and 15 to 25 contract cruises, we keep the boat pretty busy. I would say she's offshore in general. I mean, the Coral Sea is the usage pattern, imagining that is the same, if not increasing. We keep our crew hopping. We have two full-time people, and we hire part-time, an array of part-time, you know, substitute bridge and also deck crew. We keep them running pretty much every week if we're not weathered out or in dry dock. So it's she's offshore quite a bit. It's another reason why, you know, naming and the icon that the vessel is, you know, people see it coming and going from Humboldt Bay quite a bit. So it's a really active symbol of the university's engagement in this region.
We have just a little bit of time left, but I want to ask you one last question. What's your vision for, you know, the life cycle then of the North Wind, this new research vessel?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the life cycle, hopefully we're looking at another nice long 25-year run or so with this vessel. We don't have any I don't have any plans to build like a huge armada. I don't think we have the staffing or capacity to have more research vessels. I mean, we have some smaller boats, and this one bigger boat is kind of the one that anchors it. But this will really become our primary research vessel, and it also is we can also run dive operations off the back of this one, which we can't off the Coral Sea. So I'm hoping it has even kind of an expanded role in this community, in this region, and really helping anchor all the marine and ocean-facing programs that we've got in this college and activities in this region for at least the next quarter century. Then we'll be looking at the next big thing. So.
That's it for the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks, Professor, for joining me. My guest was Professor Eric Riggs, Dean of the College of Natural Resources and Sciences at Cal Poly Humboldt.